Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. And this is the interview segment on a Wednesday. Alhamdulillah, Wednesdays we have Mulana Salman Yunus. Inshallah, we'll be having more of him in the future. The date today is the 20th of Muharram, 1447. Let's welcome Mulana Salman. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you today?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mulana doing?
Alhamdulillah, all well, all good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Mulana, I was just seeing now, you know, we always hear of this ChatGPT and the rest. So someone sent some long message of one of our akabirin, and it's supposed to be some sort of a rebuttal or something of that sort. So Mufti Hassan Ali Suleimani is from Pakistan, originally from New York, and then he reverted and moved to Pakistan. The listeners know his story, then becomes a Mufti and the rest. So he quickly used his phone and he asked ChatGPT, please see, is this AI? Did AI type this out and the rest? And the response, he sent it to me. It says, very likely this is AI, a rebut, but it's AI produced. So it wasn't someone that really typed out the whole thing. They were lazy and of course couldn't match the language or the English or the correct rebuttal for that particular topic. So they just asked AI. And it so happens that this, you know, these so-called rebuttals, it doesn't ever have a name, it doesn't ever have a person's address or website it can be connected to. We've seen in the past how many people tried to oppose or write messages against Wifaqul Ulama or the seniors, but never do you find any website or a name or a person who can come out boldly to say that I'm the one who made these statements. And that just creates a deeper sense of doubt, because if you can't say your name and if you can't say that I'm the person doing it, then it shows that you don't have that confidence in what you really supposedly refuting, because you have this, you want to hide away behind scenes in it. But anyway, that just drove me to see, let me just type in a few things with ChatGPT and see, test it. So I said, give me a Jummah bayan for this week. And it gave me a whole detailed bayan. It even gave me a topic to speak on time. And it even spoke about Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said that if only this surah was revealed, Suratul Asr, then this would be sufficient for the entire ummah. So I was shocked. I said, it's moving faster than even my brains are thinking. So this, just as an introduction, and Mulana will speak on the topic that he chose, but they should be some sort of concern for people who are using this to say that this is gripping our minds and crippling it in a way as well, to say that you can't really think. You just have to give what they feed you with. Ji,
100%, Mawla. This is ChatGPT now. It made everyone lazy. And one thing is that when it comes to our deen, then our deen, we cannot learn it anywhere else. And many a time we found many ulama, they brought it up on the groups. They asked ChatGPT for a translation of this ayat, or what does this tafsir of this ayat mean, or the hadith. And they give some concocted understanding. It doesn't whole weight, or is not the correct understanding as we have in our kitab, in our kutubs, or as the ulama have interpreted it, and they give its own. And what we found is that out of, for example, 5 or 7 ayats we give them, they might get 3 or 4 correct, but the others, the rest, the remainder, they get it incorrect. Now this is very dangerous, especially now with the general public. They feel, you know what, let us not go to the ulama. We got these resources at our disposal. Let us put in our questions, ask them a fatwa. And this is all designed by the plots of Shayateen, how to move people away from the pure deen. As you say, that Now, we don't know which articles are coming out, who is writing them. And it's like we see over WhatsApp. Many a times the message is sent out, no author, no date, nothing. And then some people come with the excuse, no, I don't want to put my name there, I'm not worthy. There has no reasoning whatsoever.
Gee.
Absolutely nothing. But you putting your name, it doesn't mean you're having pride. It doesn't mean that, you know what, I'm having tawazu but not putting my name there. Actually, by putting your name there, it's showing now this credency behind it, that I can refer to this person, you've got a contact detail, I can ask you if I've got any questions, and you yourself are showing confidence that I have written this here, whether it's refuting someone or whether it's an article on an information basis. You're giving a person hope, you know what, there's some sort of person that I can contact if I have any questions. And automatically now, even if we see anything, no matter how beautiful it might be written, but if there's no name at the end of it, automatically your mind just loses hope in it. Your mind doesn't want to go back to it. You say, no, there's no name yet. Even though it's so nice, it could be correct even. But because there's no name attached to it, now you don't want to do anything. Because people today's time, they hide behind unknown person, behind people not knowing who's the author. And they feel like in this way, we can write anything, we can create mischief. And we can send it out on the platforms, people will read it. And this has become very common, especially we'll see so many chain messages are going out, where there's no name, no references, no person can trace it back to any hadith, any Quran, any ayah. And unfortunately, the masses are getting led astray, where they do not have this mindset of realizing there has to be some sort of resource or some sort of references provided. Otherwise, we do not know anything. Our whole deen is referenced. We see any hadith, we do the hadith kitabs are there. Any ayat you mention, the ayat are mentioned, the tafsir kitabs are mentioned. This holds weight and this provides peace of mind for the reader. And ChatGPT on top of it, all these other AI, there's so many different ones at the moment. You will find that no matter how good it might sound, but when a person is reading it, automatically you know, this is not human. That it doesn't have that human touch. That compared to how a human will speak, how a human will type out what he will say, that human nature is not found. And this, as we can say, how much technology might advance and robots might be developing and things, but you can never replace a human being. The human being Allah Ta'ala has created with that essence, that feature of a human, it can never ever be replaced. So we have to be aware, especially now, you know, in the schools and things, it's very common for essay writings, for speeches, all this is being done. And on top of that, now there's tools being made where we can deduct and deduce whether ChatGPT was used or AI was used, that plagiarism software, all these things now had to be developed also to combat this. So at one end, yes, it is helpful that you see, you know, if you know something quickly, while you get your information from these sources, you still have to verify it. Maybe they'll give you a guideline or something. You'll say, okay, I got some sort of image. Now let me find where it actually is found. And many a times also you'll see they'll give you references on ChatGPT also. But when you click on this website, many of them are Shia websites. Many of them are Jewish websites even. And they are giving you your deen. So we have to be very, very careful in this regard. And it's something which guidance is needed on how to use it, how to make sure that we are using it productively and correctly and not getting caught up in that web, like we'll say, where we're just taking anything that spews out. Same thing we mentioned about those sort of scholars who people are following, who are popular in the world, just like ChatGPT, just like these AI softwares. Five of their writings will be correct, but the remainder three and four, that's where that poison, that is where that incorrectness, which is detrimental to our iman, which we are unrealizing now, which we are unaware of because we trusted it. So far it was correct. And now suddenly it starts hitting these blunders and we are unaware of it. And then we see our whole iman goes down the drain like that.
Yes, that's it's an important point that you've mentioned there, Mulana, because if you see, Mulana is also involved in the car industry, selling cars and the rest. I've seen, if you just take Honda, for example, in just a few years ago, they launched, I think, over 2 million cars in 1 year, and they celebrated that. But recently, in the past year or so, they have also had to call back over 2 million cars. And what was the reason? No, there was something wrong with the programming or something wrong with the airbags or something. And you would just expect that with the technology that we're moving with, things are going to become better because there's no human interaction. And many people don't perceive a machine to be making a mistake. It's just producing and it's programmed to do a standard procedure. But how many mistakes we've been seeing with the car industry, of not just basic, simple names, but we're seeing of the major cars, major companies calling back, Mercedes-Benz calling back their cars, the rest. And these are brand new cars at times. And sometimes even after many years, they're still calling back the car because of this, and they're trying to fix it, trying to... Now, you put your life in these things. Lately, we've seen Air India and how that plane came down with so many people dying, over 200 people. And to what extent? Now, that's, imagine you passed away with Iman, you're successful. As Mulana said, these things, out of 10, if you're getting 7 right and 3 wrong, or if you're getting out of 10, even 9.9%, 99.9% is correct, and just that 0.01% is wrong, still this is affecting our iman. So important point that Mulana mentioned. I think, can it be just that Mulana can just advise us in a sentence or so, if we just don't rely on this for deen, don't ask it anything with regards to Islam, and just refrain from that and go back to what we're supposed to be doing, and that is holding on to the pious seniors and scholars. That will be perhaps when it comes to your dunyawi aspects, such as you want something, you want to know how to unblock a drain or something, maybe those things are fine.
Gee, 100%. You know, as human beings, then when we have the original in front of us, then we won't go for the pirate, we won't go for the copy. Now we have the original, asal, the Quran, the Sunnah, the Ahadith. We got the ulama who are in front of us, who can give us the original deen first hand. So when it comes, as we were discussing about the car, when it comes to our car, we can get that same original part with no difficulty, would just in the front of us. Why would a person want to opt for a pirate copy or a generic? Only a fool will do that there. So once we have the ulama in front of us, we have still the asal deen, where we can get it firsthand, heart to heart, then only a fool will say, you know what, let me still get it via the computer. Let me get it via here. So we have to come back to the original way, and once we have it, there are many, many countries in the world where there are scarcity of ulama, scarcity of the Quran Sharif even. So we are fortunate, we are lucky, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, that we have the original way, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught the Sahaba, heart to heart, in front of them, reading, teaching, advising. We have this at our disposal. We have this great bounty Allah has blessed us with. So let it not be such that we make our children sit, watch the videos, learn from there, listen to the recordings. No. But rather, let us go to the ulama, let us learn it firsthand. And just on the starting, I just said recently, I don't know which country was, I can't remember now, but they had all the imports of Chinese cars. And they found now that the car itself is sending information back to China on the logistics and the statistics and whatever is happening in the country. So this has become a form of warfare also. AI secretly spying, sending away information about your country back to the original. And if we think about it, that the Ummah, we know the wars the Ummah is in, and the machinery, the airplane, who has produced it? It's the Kuffar. The Kuffar have produced it. The Muslim world is buying it and using it. What is stopping them from having that one command just to computer put it into the computer, and all those airplanes will be null and void? All the airplanes won't fly anymore. All those machinery won't work anymore because everything is AI generated. Everything is computer-based, software-based. So whilst we are buying from them and we feel happy we got our huge army, our huge machinery, but we bought it from them. They have the control, their own button, and everything can be no longer, everything can explode even. Everything can just go away. So we have to be very worried in the sense that, remember, the kuffar, we can never trust them. They are together, they are together. And we as Muslims, we are alone. Because we believe in Allah Ta'ala. We are one and only. And we have to train the future generation that you have to be the ones that will make and produce our own Muslim technology, our own Muslim machinery, to produce it and for us to benefit with no side of the kafir, with no impact or no influence of the kuffar, where they could ever jeopardize it or come into the matter such that now we are lost, now we are dependent on them. Mm-hmm. And we see that the whole world is such that we have become dependent on the ways of the kuffar, on the things of the kuffar, on the commodities of the kuffar. Now with the whole boycott going on also, how many of us are able to do away with these things? How many of us are able to say, no, this is produced by a Muslim company, by a Muslim person, we are purchasing it? We will see the mass of all products, all kuffar-based. So the training of the next generation of the ummah is very, very important, and how we can bring them onto this way of uplifting the ummah, of us having our own power, our own strength, and not looking for it within the kuffar itself.
Mm.
I see, alhamdulillah, our time is going. And I actually had a topic planned for today, but maybe we'll just touch on it, inshallah. And in this way, we can see also it might just link up. But over the weekend in the Durban area, I'm sure this also happens very often within Joburg itself, that these soccer tournaments are held, and Muslims flock to it like it's unbelievable. Also, over this weekend, they had a soccer tournament in the Durban area arranged by Muslims itself, and all the Muslim schools, Muslim independent, private companies, everything, private, what we'll say, training facilities. So many participated. I was seeing the one message, it said almost 2,500 youths was present, Muslim youth. And this, if it doesn't create that pain in the heart to see where is the ummah going, what is happening to the youth, and then what more pain that is created is when you see the same parents of the youth. They're celebrating that trophy the child won. They are putting the statuses. They are putting the message, we are so proud, we are so happy. I mean, what has gone wrong? Where are we going? On one side of the world, children are getting bombed. They are starving. On the other side of the world, people are running around, kicking one ball, having some sort of entertainment, thinking this is success. And for us to understand this whole demeanor of sports, this whole fitna of sports, we'll have to basically first understand what is entertainment. Because sports falls under the broader context, which we call entertainment. As you say, if we're going to channel our youngsters, our youth, the Muslim Ummah in this direction, then that hope of having that successful, strong Muslim army, that Muslim Ummah, that's going to be a benefit for us, is going to be lost, gone completely. Inshallah, maybe in the few minutes we have, we'll just touch on what we'll say entertainment, and Allah Ta'ala give us the opportunity again, then we'll delve more deeply into this fitna of what we'll say is sports. And to understand it, we have to go back in history. We have to go far back in history to understand the whole plot and ploy of entertainment. So if you go back into ancient times, ancient history, then you'll see they also had entertainment. Remember, things are always the same. From there and now, it's the same. It's just the manner of it occurring has changed. So in ancient times, you'll see they had amphitheaters, the Colosseum, they had playhouses, they had gladiators. All these were done with the social and political agenda. And this was to enforce social hierarchies and identities amongst people. So once we had the ancient times, what we say is known as ancient history in the books of history, then after that came the collapse of the Roman Empire. When the collapse of the Roman Empire came, then you'll see that time Christianity and that was also coming down. And what they introduced now, they introduced within the churches and within the courtyard biblical displays, biblical plays. This was to pull the crowds again. This was to get people to come to the churches again, to come to them, to the, what you say, to have the sense of Christianity and identity as a Christian, just to get the numbers. And We mustn't fall for the same thing now. That just to get the numbers now, we introduce this entertainment into Islam. We find now many a times things in the name of Islam is taking place, this fair or this program. But everything is based on entertainment. How it come, have a good time, have with your family, relax. So when the Roman Empire collapsed and this biblical displays occurred, then we had the Renaissance era. And there we saw it gave rise to what we know as very famous in the schooling world, Shakespeare, the writings of Shakespeare. And this led now to the playhouses, the theaters. This all was a form of cultural expression. All a form of cultural expression. And if one has to ask himself, why are we even learning Shakespeare in the school today? It doesn't even make sense. If you have to go into the writings of Shakespeare, it was all satanic. It was all tajali. It was all about death. It was all about betrayal. It was about deceit. And these are the things that our children are forced in the schooling world to learn about. And he himself never even followed what we'll say our child to learn the proper English grammar. He made his own English up, but yet he was so praised. These are all agents of Shaytan that was chosen to distract the masses via this way of writing. Then we came to the 19th century, where mass media and popular culture became the norm. And this was the Industrial Revolution then came, and it gave birth to technology. When the Industrial Revolution came, then we find that technology exploded. It was the start of everything. Now when technology started, it wasn't just communities that was going to be entertained. Now it was able to have a global reach. Before it was kept for a certain group of community, or it was only localized entertainment. Now with technology, this entertainment reached global levels. And thereafter came the steam printing press. The steam printing press changed the whole revolution of how entertainment was done. Why? Because this gave rise now to novels, theaters, newspapers, opera houses. All this was developed. As we can see, as time is going, how entertainment was growing and distracting the people and taking them more into a state of ghaflat, more into a state of amusement. Then comes the late 19th and 20th century, where we see that the cinema became developed. And this was a very, very big thing. The cinema houses, people attending, going. And this was one of the things people used to look forward to. And then came the mid-20th century, which the TV was born. The TV, the television, was developed. Now, instead of the cinema, people going out, within a person's own four walls, he had the television box, a shaitani box, that now distracted him for hours and hours on end. Post-World War II, TV was now more popular than ever. And now this was used as a major tool for the world to distract and influence the world. It influenced cultural norms that I'm living in South Africa, but I'm behaving like an American. I'm living in South Africa, but I'm eating like the European. I'm dressing like the European. Where I would have never known what is going on in their countries. But via the television, all this was being taught. And in what a manner it was indoctrinated into a person's mind that how we should be living, this is the conduct of life, this is how you eat, this is how you dress. Then we see in our zamana, the late 20th and earlier 21st century was the rise of the internet and the digital technology. And this is what we see in front of us today with the internet, the streaming services, the YouTube, the Netflix, all these things was born. And with technology, it's increasing more and more. We have AI, we have AR, we have VR. We have all of these things that have crept up. For what purpose? For entertainment purposes. All this year was to distract us and to put us more into a state of ghaflat. Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانَ يَعْلَمُونَ. So what is this world except amusement and play? And definitely the true life is the life of the Akhirah. لَوْ كَانْ يَعْلَمُونَ. If only you know. If only you know, if only this knowledge comes into your brain, this understanding comes in. So this was just a quick, brief understanding of entertainment that we have to take seriously, because our whole life now has become a form of entertainment. Every moment we're going to be amused. Every moment we're going to be happy. Every moment we're going to be laughing. But this entertainment was not something small that started off now. And so nicely, someone said very beautifully that entertainment was designed to distract the masses from the decay of the empire or real life problems. You see, around us, as you said, over this weekend, what has happened, this 14 thing has happened. How many people remembered our brothers and sisters in Gaza? How many people remembered the people starving in Syria? But by this entertainment, we became totally oblivious. We forgot everything. The whole world was forgotten, but my happiness was only remembered. And now why we went into this is because we have to understand that the sporting world is part of this entertainment and is one of the crucial things behind entertainment, that the young and the old have been gripped by it. So inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give us life and we'll go further into it and dissect what is actually the sport, how it has become a religion in itself, and how the Muslim youth are being led astray via the sporting world, and not only the youth, but even the adults themselves. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah Ta'ala protect us all. As you say, the AI and this technology has been advancing. And as you saw now in the history, in the technological zamana, in the digital world, and AI is only going to get stronger. And we're going to see different forms of entertainment coming via them, different ways going to come. But we have to remember, we haven't been created for play and amusement. We have been created for the Akhirah, the life of Akhirah, which is the real life. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us the best in Jannah, inshallah.
I mean, Mulana Sahib, important points raised there, and we're seeing this in many places, and I'm going to say openly, where in such places such as Qurtuba now also, where they are calling females to play all these sports and the rest. And it's just amazingly there, they put their no photos and no strictly females. So, of course, when it suits them, then they will fall for, they will use deen and use principles of deen. But when they need to bend it, then they will bend it. As Mulana has mentioned, the excuse that these people present is there's no youth coming to the masjid. And then they will show you the deen team and how many youth now are so successful in coming to the masjid. They have been much kinder to their parents. But the whole understanding is exactly this, that deen becomes amusement. As long as there's amusement, we'll do deen. But when there's no amusement, then what happens? And then you look up and you read about the life of Hazrat Mulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh. And it is written there, the life and mission of Mulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh, book written by Mulana Abul Hassan Nadwi Rahimullah. There he writes on page 8, the statement of Mulana Ilyas's friend, and Riyadul Islam. He says, we were in Maktab, and Mulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh took a stick, and he said, as a young boy, he's saying, let's go and do jihad upon those people who do not perform salah. So this is our Kabirin. They never said, let's use sports. They could use so many different things was out at that time also. But no, using the asal way, as you've mentioned, and that is what we have to go back to. Sometimes we just want to become so innovative, we lose the entire plot. And soccer, they say, no, we play soccer with morals, playing soccer the Islamic way. But how can you play soccer the Islamic way? We've seen in tournaments recently, over the past few years, how many Islamic Muslim so-called tournaments where Muslims swearing one another, and this was all videoed and put on social media for the entire world to see. So this is the outcome, and that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla informs us in verse 149 of Surah Ali Imran. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in tuti'u alladhina kafaru yaruddukum ala aqabikum fatanqalibu khasirin. O people of Iman, if you follow, obey the kuffar, then they will turn you back on your heels and you will be then left as losers. Mulana, jazakumullah khairan for your time and important topics raised. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.